Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, I've always considered myself a change agent. What is that? I like to bring change wherever I go. I'm not the kind of guy that does things the same old way as everybody else. I've got my own way of doing things. You feel like that? You guys probably feel like that a lot. Well, my cousin in London has a agency called The Change Agency, and he is a change agent. And you know what's funny is now that I work with the entrepreneur and I'm kind of in this thought leadership space, you might say, Jonathan Obermeister here in my studio, all the way from London, England. We've been talking about business and life and how things are around the world in different places. Just moved to Portugal, right?
That's right.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, man.
This is the first time in our lives, we're both in our late 50s, that we've been able to do something together on radio. How fun is this?
That's cool.
It is. It's cool. I'm like the disgusting American. He's the fine, polished British gentleman.
From the old country.
The old country. That's right. As you go around the world, I mean, because literally you're a global agency. You were just over in Vancouver, Canada,
That's right.
Helping a client of yours. As you go around the world, do you see that different parts of the world do business differently? Or is it the same everywhere we go, just different kind of dialects?
Well, I think there are, you know, clearly some distinct cultural differences around the world. But if you look at what makes entrepreneurs tick and you look at the dynamics of what it takes to drive change in organizations, I think the rules are pretty much universal.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw a little meme the other day, and it was what entrepreneurs think business will be like. And it was like in their mind, they picture this line going up. You know, it's like, I'm going to make money. I'm going to be successful. And then the reality is that line is this squiggly, wild ride that we have to take as entrepreneurs. You're an entrepreneur.
Small scale.
Small, but I mean, yeah. You're still, I mean, I've watched you, you know, look, we're cousins. I've watched you your whole life. And you've always had this entrepreneurial spirit about you. And when I showed you that I was working for, I haven't seen him in 9 years, by the way, everybody. 9 years, wow. Right? So when I'm now working with entrepreneur, it's
You're still handsome, man.
This is cool. Well, it's because we look alike. So let's talk about business for a minute. What is the Change Agency? What do you guys do?
So we're a change management consulting and research business. And I guess the thing that really differentiates us and the thing that... That our business is built on is a very simple insight, which is that change comes from within. Mm. Now, what do I mean by that? If you look at why big change programs fail, or at least why big change programs tend not to perform optimally and not hit all of their goals, the key drivers, and ironically, this is based on research from some of the biggest consulting firms in the world, like McKinsey, who themselves have pioneered the change methods that they now realize are kind of broken. And the common strand there is that the change is done to the organization, the change isn't adequately owned by the organization. So, you know, let's think about it. Why do consultants exist? Why do consultants get paid? Well, consultants only exist to do the stuff that clients can't do.
Or don't want to do.
Well, or think they can't do.
Yeah.
So consultants have a vested interest in perpetuating a myth in the mind of the client, that the client doesn't have the smarts, the time, the bandwidth, the permission, the intellectual property to devise and take ownership of their own change. And let's face it, that's nonsense.
So it's so funny. You said change comes from within. I want to show you something, how interesting. So Jonathan, I think I'm one year older than you.
Yeah.
1 year older. We're both born in June. I'm going to show Jonathan something. He's going to react to it in real time.
Just to be clear, that's 1 year older and half as wise.
I found something the other day, and I'm going to go deep on this. This is what I have discovered in my life.
Oh, wow.
What does it say?
It says, conquer from within.
And he just told me the whole premise of his business is change comes from within.
Right.
And I have this meme, conquer from within. Tell me this is not strange.
This is cool.
This is so cool. We have so many similarities. It's bizarre. All right, here's some new music I just found. It's two cellos. It's number two cellos. You guys can find it. This is some new music I just found. This is two guys playing these cellos like they're at war with each other. Check this out. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. More with my cousin.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Well, I feel good because I get some time with my cousin, who I only get to see every few years. We live on different parts of the world. He's from London, Jonathan Obermeister, Change Agency, change-agency.com. He's out of London, living in Portugal now. Lucky man. Let's continue talking about the philosophy that you guys have. Change comes from within. And I got to tell you, I mean, I, in the last decade of my life, have become a soul searcher. Because I have to look at what is really behind every decision I make. Is it greed? Is it hunger? Is it lust? Is it desire? Is it good intentions? You know, what is behind the decision-making process of a CEO, right? So maybe you could talk about that.
Well, I think, you know, this change comes from within thing is we stumbled on it when we realized that the very same principles that work for personal change apply to change in organizations, right? Because
right.
What are organizations except groups of people?
Yeah.
And the premise here is that if you want to change anything, especially as an entrepreneur, not to be overly reliant on yourself, and that's a challenge for many entrepreneurs because, you know, they build businesses in their image.
And well, and they've also had to start all alone.
Completely.
You know, like even Rudyard Kipling's poem, If you can, you know, lose all everything on one game of pitch and toss and start over with worn out tools and never breathe a word of the loss, you know, these are the things that make you a man, my son, is how it ends.
Right. But truly great entrepreneurs know to recognize their limitations, right?
Correct.
So that may be a point in the life cycle of the business where they know they truly have to delegate.
Right.
They may have to realize that they'll never clone themselves. Therefore, they have to rethink the relationship between them and their lieutenants. They may need to recognize it's time to walk away. A lot of the work we do is about kind of organizational renewal, right? So some of that is about helping the leaders, they may be entrepreneurs or just corporate managers, helping the leaders recognize the limitations of their own ability to set direction on the one hand, but equally to recognize the wisdom of the crowd that's inside the business.
Right.
So think of this, if you like, as social media principles applied to decision making. Why not?
You know, many of us entrepreneurs are very narcissistic. And I think, again, that comes from that whole, I'm going to make it, the little train that could, I'm going to make it, going to make it. And then one day when you've all of a sudden started making it, you have to stop being so narcissistic and stop being so egotistical and realize you have to share the entire job and the glory, both.
Well, right. And there are times in the life cycle of a business, an idea came to me literally just a few weeks ago about a possible proposition to take to market. If any of your listeners are interesting, you know, tell them to get in touch. But the insight is this, which is founder transitions, right? This is a big deal. It's a big deal for investors and for the entrepreneurs themselves is what's the point? You know, what do you do about the point at which founders need to exit the business? Sometimes they have to go because they're failing. Sometimes they go because they're fired. Sometimes
They're aging out. My dad's 90. He's finally aging out. Yeah. 90!
90, Jesus.
Oh, that's your uncle, by the way.
Sorry.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy? Wild.
But you know, that moment of founder transition should be, in my view, a real opportunity for reflection and renewal. Because, get this, Alan, founders cast long shadows, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the positive side of that is an entrepreneur can really shape a business in their own image. The trouble is, you find me an entrepreneur, especially with a really powerful personality, who hasn't cast a shadow over their business, who hasn't ended up suppressing innovation, suppressing ideas, right, forcing conformity.
Yes.
And that moment of founder transition, which is often shrouded in secrecy, involving headhunters, complex political conversations about money and equity and terms of exit.
Yeah, right.
That should be a time, really, to open up to the body of the organization itself to say, guys, are we doing the right things? Could we do something different? Could we do something better?
Mm. Well, that takes a whole lot of maturity, my friend.
It does.
And sadly, us narcissistic people like myself, yes, I admit it. You know, I all I can say is that, you know, we go through so much as entrepreneurs doing what they say could not be done, that when we finally, you know, get there and things start getting a little easier, man, there needs to be a change agent.
Well, that's when it's time to rethink and renew, huh?
That's when it's time to call Jonathan, the chief change agent at change-agency.com. In London, he travels.
He does.
He does.
You're too kind, man.
We'll take a break and come back with a little more of this fun talk. This is my cousin, you guys. How cool is that? Entrepreneur Weekly, be right back. Our show is brought to you in part by Kia and the new 2018 Kia Stinger, fueled by youth. Thanks to Kia for sponsoring our show. This is Entrepreneur Weekly all across America. We're a broadcast on radio stations around America and worldwide on the internet. And I do have friends all around the world that listen to our show. And today we're doing an international piece with my cousin, Jonathan Obermeister from the Change Agency out of London. And he's visiting me right now. He was in Canada. And he's like, hey, cuz, can I come on down? So Jonathan's with us. And now I told him, I said, you got to be on my show. You're a change agent. You help companies, small and large. So today, now you put on your professor's cap since your youngest son is going to go to Cambridge.
He is, yeah.
You better make him look good by being really smart right now.
Hey, listen, he's already outstripping, man, really.
So let's talk a little bit about advice. You get to see, as you're consulting large and small companies, national, international, and I think that it's a lot of things are repetitive, and you see them over and over and over again, and then it's easy. It's like, I've seen this before, deja vu almost. I've seen this kind of, you were talking about earlier, this kind of, you know, arrogance or whatever you want to call it, or this kind of pride or this kind of, you know, founder mentality where I built it, I've done it once and I can do it again. You know, my father said that to me many a time. And it's like, he's 90 years old. It's hard for him to let go. But along the way, some of those things that you've seen, maybe you could give some advice as to, if becoming an entrepreneur along that path, you better watch out for these certain things. What are they? Ego, pride, you know, you learn how to bite your lip. I mean, where do we go with this?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is awareness of limitations. I mean, let's not caricature entrepreneurs, right? There are millions of ways of being an entrepreneur. There's millions of ways of being a leader.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of possible styles. And then there's, you know, there's learned behavior and there's innate behavior, right? There's stuff that comes easier to folk and stuff that they have to kind of learn on the job. I mean, I think the greatest leaders are ones that truly know how not just to delegate, but to have the right people to partner with. Some of them extend that partnering ethos right across the organization. Others just surround themselves with great people who can complement them and do the things that they can't do. I think the tension there is that often the very things that drive an entrepreneur to create and build don't lend themselves naturally to collaboration. But at some point...
That's true, isn't it?
At some point, entrepreneurs are going to find the same things that big companies already know, which is it's all about collaboration.
Yeah, big time. I know that I've helped big, giant companies collaborate that would never do that if it wasn't for a conduit person like me
totally.
That helped them to do that. So I found that was my niche. you know, connecting a shell with a Craftsman tool company. And, you know, these are things that I've been able to do along the way. And because they have many reasons to work together. Well, that same thing on a very small scale happens in this office that we're sitting in right now. You know, the guy over there that's doing the graphic design needs to work with the host of the show to make sure that he's designing something that it makes me feel good as the host, right? And so the collaboration is very important. Letting go as an entrepreneur and letting others make decisions, for me, that's been a very, very hard thing. It's always, you know, I got to make the final decision. And, you know, at my late age of entrepreneurship, you know, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I'm just finally learning how to do that.
But you know what you're talking about at one level is seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And I think the great leaders paint that bigger picture, right? So that others can see their place in it.
Yeah.
A lot of it's about, you know, being able to reframe stuff for people. Look, you know, organizations are becoming hyper-specialized, right? Every function, every supplier that sells into every function can be benchmarked. We're into a world of hyper-specialization. But the trouble with hyper-specialization is then how do you get folks to see the bigger picture and work out how to collaborate? Because actually, at the same time, organizations are asking fewer people to do more with less, right?
Right.
So you have to be able to have that helicopter view. You have to be able to paint that bigger picture. And I think in terms of the role of the consultant in all of this, one of the best things we can bring is that ability to, you know, help paint an alternative picture.
Yeah.
To reframe, to show people whatever they think they know and what they do and the way they talk about it is just a framing. It's just a narrative. And then work with them to create a new collective narrative, particularly when you want to move the organization onto a new phase.
I love it. I love it. I love that we are in the same kind of place in different parts of the world. We are both trying to help people to help themselves at the end of the day. I love that my cousin is on the radio with me right now. Jonathan Obermeister, Change Agency. Put a hyphen in the middle of change and agency. So change-agency.com out of London. But he does travel worldwide. He's a handsome dude. And we look just alike. Jonathan, thank you, brother. I mean, cousin. Really appreciate it. All right. Don't forget to check out our website, entrepreneur.com. You can find podcasts of this show. It's a nationally syndicated radio show. Then it goes to podcast. So when you're listening to the podcast, you don't have to hear the local commercials. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, radio stations, you guys got to play the commercials. I get it. So bear with us through that. But we play good music, right? It doesn't get much better than this. Also, don't forget our Facebook page, 3.5 million entrepreneurs following Entrepreneur on Facebook. You can also find the radio show playing at iTunes and all the rest. So check us out, Entrepreneur Weekly and entrepreneur.com. Well, I'll take a little break here. I'm going to go have a beer with my cousin and be right back for more. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, I get to interview a lot of people. I mean, a lot. That's a good thing. Amazing people, thought leaders, people from every walk of life that are in business or have done great things with their life. Matter of fact, I've got a 4-star general from the Pentagon teed up. I am the luckiest guy in the world. But every so often, I run across people like our next guest, Jamie Smart, who I met by chance at a Dollar Beard Club event called Unconscious Content with Chris Stoikos, which I haven't spoken to him in a long time. I think he's living in Australia now, but calling all the way in from London is Jamie Smart. Jamie, how you doing?
So far, so good. Alan, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. And have you spoken to Chris at all since we met together?
You know what? I interviewed Chris for my podcast maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and he came on with his dad, Andy, as well.
Wow.
And we just had a great conversation.
That's awesome.
It was really, really fantastic.
Well, you and I will have to hook up and find out what he's doing. I sent him a note, and maybe I have his wrong email or something. These people you want to stay in touch with, like me with you, London Times best-selling author, speaker, executive coach. He wrote Clarity was his first book. Results was his second book. His latest book is The Little Book of Results, A Quick Guide to Achieving Big Goals. Again, Jamie Smart. I am so glad. You're all the way across the pond. You're a Canadian in London, right?
Yeah, that's right. Living in the UK, I actually moved out of London about a year ago, but still living in the UK.
Okay. I follow you on Facebook. I see that you do all kinds of executive coaching and speaking and stuff. But what I like about you, and I'll say this to the audience, what I like about him is he's a regular guy. I love that about you. You don't try to put on a big show, be the, you know, the head of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey's circus of thought leaders. I mean, we have those people in our industry, but you're just Jamie Smart. You're a smart guy, Mr. Smart.
Well, and the way it looks to me, Alan, is the game in life is to be yourself. You know, each one of us is unique and different and all that kind of thing. And yet there are so many voices telling us we ought to be like someone else,
yeah,
when actually the most valuable thing of all is to be who we really are.
Yeah.
And that's where the juice is. And it's funny, when I'm working with coaches, actually, often I say to them, you know, on the one hand, I want you to be wildly successful, whatever your definition of wild success turns out to be. And on the other hand, I want you to be like the fullest expression of you, of who you really are, because actually that's the surest path to your wildest success.
You know, you said something there, and I want to just stay with it for a moment, is for so many people out there, they think they have to be, you know, Tony Robbins or any number of these, you know, amazing personalities. And, you know, and I'm not slamming Tony Robbins. The guy's amazing, but he's one in a billion, and we're, you know, one in 7 billion, I guess. But the point is that I am most comfortable being myself. And if you think about it, people out there listening, when are you most comfortable wearing a pair of flip-flops, shorts, and an old t-shirt with stains on it, going down to the store and talking to somebody while you're in line, you know, about whatever is going on in the day, and just being yourself? You're not really comfortable at work. You have to put on your armor. You have to be prepared. But the reality is, I believe that you can go out into this world once you have confidence in yourself and be yourself and do and achieve the same thing. But it takes, you know, polishing yourself just a little bit. You can't just go out and be a schlub. Don't get me wrong. There has to be a little bit of conscious, well, as our friend Chris Stoiko said, unconscious content. There has to be consciousness to, you know, what you're doing when you're out in the world, but still being yourself. And I think Jamie Smart is that guy out there in this world that has been able to remain who he is, do amazing things, and teach others. And first of all, I want to give everybody your website, too, if they want to follow along. JamieSmart.com, J-A-M-I-E, Smart.com. So talk about this new book. What sparked the interest to you? You already had Results. Why make The Little Book of Results? What's going on there?
Well, it's an interesting one. So when my first book, Clarity, came out, we got a great response to it. You know, sold a lot of copies and everything like that. And people saying how to change their lives. And the publisher asked me to do The Little Book of Clarity, which I did. And I started getting this really strange reaction, which is people would come up to me and say, hey, I love The Little Book of Clarity. It's even better than the original. And I had kind of a split response, because so I was kind of like, oh, thanks. Go to hell. I mean, I really liked the first book. But so it was kind of really weird. But when Results became a Sunday Times bestseller, I knew that we do The Little Book of Results. And so the challenge for me became to go, okay, how can I pare it down to the essential parts, the things that absolutely have to be there. Yeah. And so I kind of, it meant a pretty brutal edit, Alan, just to kind of say, okay, what's the minimum viable product
right.
for someone who's, you know, in a hurry, doesn't want to have to remember a ton of stuff and that sort of thing? What's the minimum viable product to help them get exactly what they need from this book? So that's what the little book of results.
Okay. So it's kind of a, is it a smaller book as well? Is it one of those little pocket guides?
It's smaller in stature, so it'll you know, fit, it's pocket sized.
Right.
But also, it's only got about 2/3 of the words, so I had to cut out a big chunk of content.
Interesting.
And really, you know, boil it down to the bare essentials.
All right, let's start. We have like two more segments with you, but I want to start with one. We are living in a world that is changing super fast. Maybe you could give us a minute on our most valuable qualities. What do you think those are in this fast-changing world?
Well, I'll tell you straight out of the gate, the most valuable qualities, when I say fast-changing, I'm talking about, you know, the rate of technology, everything from robots and AI, like it's changing so fast.
Right.
Our most valuable qualities are our innate capacity for insight, for realization, and for resilience. Because we're used to linear thinking. You know, most of us, through most of human history, we never traveled more than a few miles from where we live. Now we can go, you know, all over the world, and things are changing so fast. So insight is exponential thinking.
There you go. This song called Fly, Sugar Ray. So since we do fly all over, that's you and me. I mean, I see you going back and forth around the world, and I'm doing the same thing. And we do have to be resilient and keep our head about us as we go into the world. And so reading books like Clarity and Results, and now The Little Book of Results from Jamie Smart will help you get there. That's what this show is all about. We're going to come back and talk about more with Jamie. I'm Alan Taylor, Entrepreneur Weekly. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Thanks for hanging with us. Don't forget, pick up our magazine on newsstands everywhere, Entrepreneur Magazine. Check out Entrepreneur Media. The online properties, you know, there's woman entrepreneur, young entrepreneur. We've got a little something for you. My job here is to try and bring people to the table to make your life better, make your world better, make your entrepreneurial journey better. Jamie Smart is one of those guys. Jamie, I blew past it. You have a podcast. Tell us about that real quick.
So my podcast is called Get Clarity with Jamie Smart, and there's a bunch of different things on it. Sometimes it's interviews with people who have been deeply impacted by the inside-out understanding that I share. Sometimes it's keynotes that I've done. Sometimes it's a clip from a seminar or a workshop. But it's just things that, because the understanding that I'm pointing to in all my books is something that it's kind of counterintuitive to people. It's kind of a little unexpected. But as you start to look in this direction, you start to see it everywhere. It's sort of, once you get eyes for it, you start to notice it in all kinds of different things. So we'll get into that as we talk about that.
Well,
That's what the podcast is about.
Awesome. So you guys, they can find that jamiesmart.com as well. Do you have a link there?
Yeah, or jamiesmart.com/results podcast.
Okay. Let's talk about Clarity for a moment, because that's where it started for you. Give me 1 minute on what drove you to writing this book, Clarity, because that your life has changed after that.
Absolutely. Well, so I got my business running pretty much on autopilot in 2008, so I could go and have adventures and travel and all that kind of stuff. So my first adventure was a 3-month mini retirement to go skiing at Whistler. And I thought, this is going to be amazing. I'll be super happy. I'll have achieved everything I set out to achieve. And 6 weeks into it, I was kind of miserable. And I was like, well, that's not fair. That, according to the rules of my industry, I should be happier than anything.
Right.
And so I went back to the drawing board. And what I discovered was that all my goals and objectives had been based on a fundamental misunderstanding of how life works. I had been looking outside myself in goals, in accomplishments, and that sort of thing for the sense of peace and well-being and happiness and fulfillment that can only ever come from within. And while I kind of knew that intellectually, like we all know, you know, it comes from within, I didn't really know it in the muscle. And so I kind of went back to the drawing board and started exploring, and I started finding answers. And so Clarity, the book, was kind of the story of that journey and a way of understanding ourselves and our lives that allows us to really enjoy the journey rather than doing the whole I'll be happy when thing. And so many of us, especially those of us who are, you know, in the entrepreneurial game, it's so easy to think, oh yeah, I'll be happy when I build the business, or I'll be happy when I make this much money, or I'll be happy when I achieve this or that or the other. But actually, it works the other way around. So that's what Clarity is about.
You know, it is so interesting. I just turned 58 years old a few weeks ago. And, you know, remember the song Cats in the Cradle by Cat Stevens?
Yeah.
Cats in the Cradle, yeah. You know, it's like that came out when I was 13 years old. And I said, that'll never be me. When you coming home, Dad, you know, I don't know when. We'll get together then. It's like, oh, my God, I became that guy. I was always busy. I was always flying around the world. And, you know, and I thought to myself, but I always come home for the weekend. I'm always going to be there, you know, at least for Sunday for my kids. And you know, it's like, how could it possibly happen? It happens to all of us. I'm watching it happening to my daughter and her son right now. Business and life keep happening, and more of it. So we just, our lives are so consumed. So all of a sudden, I get to this point in my life where I went, I became the Cat Stevens guy that, you know, was always busy. When you coming home, son? I don't know when. We'll get together then. But the problem is, how could, even though I was conscious of not wanting it, how could it have happened to me, right? So then, to your point, I wasn't happy. And this is a sad thing to say. I have missed many opportunities with my kids that now I want to try and make up for. But guess what? When I call them, you know, I call my son and I'm like, can you come over? He says, I'd love to, Dad, but my, you know, the kid's got the flu. It's the song. It's like, oh my God, people, yeah. don't listen to it. It'll make you cry. But now I realize, you know what? It's never too late. Start living the life you want to live today. Don't wait until it's too late and you look back and you're laying on your deathbed and you hear Cat Stevens playing in the background and you slip off into death. I'm going to start living with my life, with my kids, and enjoying life. I don't care. I want to be who I am. I don't care if people think I should be something else. I need to be who I think I should be. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm totally with you. And the thing I'd love to say to everyone who's listening is conditions don't have to change in order for you to start living that today. You know, we get fooled into believing that it's somewhere to get to before we can do it. But actually, just by understanding some simple things, basically understanding how your mind works, who you really are, and what we're all up to in life, as you start to glimpse that for yourself, you get to enjoy it now.
All right, let me take a break. We've got another segment with Jamie Smart. You can find him, jamiesmart.com, jamiesmart.com. His books, Clarity, Results, and the latest book, The Little Book of Results, A Quick Guide to Achieving Big Goals. I am never going to play Cat Stevens, The Cats in the Cradle, on this show. I get sick when I hear it. We'll take a break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Again, talking with my friend Jamie Smart, all the way from the UK. He's a London Times best-selling author, speaker, and executive coach. His books, Clarity, number two is Results, the latest book, The Little Book of Results, A Quick Guide to Achieving Big Goals. You talk about subtractive psychology. Give me a little bit on that, because that's interesting.
Yeah, well, so subtractive psychology is the approach that the books are grounded in. And so let me start from the opposite of subtractive psychology. If you look on the covers of basically every magazine, you get five or six or seven top tips. So, you know, seven tips for getting rid of belly fat, seven tips to have, you know, red hot whatever, seven tips to make more money. It's always seven tips. And we read those tips and we go, oh my God, that's so obvious. Why didn't I think of that? And then we forget them, because the only thing that we actually ever implement is something that we've realized for ourselves, that we've seen insightfully. So subtractive psychology, rather than giving you tips to memorize and stuff to practice and that sort of thing, it gives you the understanding that takes things off your mind. So it's all about, you know, no one needs more to think about today. Like, we're so busy. So the whole idea of subtractive psychology is it takes things off your mind. Because, you know what, Alan, when I ask people, when do you get your best ideas? They always give the same answers. The answers are when I'm out for a walk, when I'm in the shower, when I'm driving to work, right, when I'm just about to drop off to sleep. They never say, oh, when I'm reading seven top tips about, or, you know, overthinking it or whatever. So right, we instinctively know that the answers are going to come when we've got less on our mind. So the idea of subtractive psychology is to use your mind's self-clearing capacity rather than try to fill it up with stuff that isn't actually going to help.
So is that a meditation, you know, process, or what are you talking about?
Well, yes and no. So it's using the state of meditation. See, the purpose of meditative practices, which are another additive approach, they're a thing to do and practice, the purpose of those is to guide you into a state of meditation. But that state of meditation is actually naturally occurring for human beings. Like, even the little kids have it.
Right.
They go into reflective states. And that's when people say, when they get their best ideas, what they're actually saying is, these are the times when I tend to fall into a meditative state, and that's when the ideas come to me.
Right.
So all, see, everything that we've been taught about how the mind works, a lot of it's back to front. So what I'm doing is just pointing people to something that's already there in every human being. This is the beautiful thing. You've already got it. Everything you've been looking for in terms of peace, in terms of well-being, in terms of good ideas, in terms of resilience, you already have it. It's just that we've been told that it's something we need to develop. But no, it's already there. So rather than it being something to develop, it's something you uncover.
Yep.
Subtractive psychology helps you do that.
Well, you know, it's funny because if you think about it, no animal gets taught how to do its thing. Its instincts teach it how to do its thing, whether it's the nurturing of their babies or sitting on the eggs and the parents taking turns sitting on the eggs, you know, if it's cold outside and whatever it is. But we as humans, we have to be taught everything. But you're right. It really is in there. You just need those aha moments. I remember a saying from when I was a kid. My dad says, when the hands are at work, the mind is at ease. And that's why we all love hobbies. We're doing things because it gives our minds a chance to rest while we do something that we love, which is coming from a whole nother place. And, you know, some of these people that do these hobbies turn them into their careers because they become sculptors and painters, and they're doing something that literally is flowing from them like a effervescent pool that's bubbling out of them. They and sometimes they aren't taught, sometimes they are, but it's really just somebody shining a light on something that they already know inside, because that thing called talent is natural talent that we just are enabled by somebody else. And that's what you're doing for us. I love it. I love Jamie Smart, everybody. Check him out, jamiesmart.com, J-A-M-I-E, smart.com. His books, Clarity Results and the Little Book of Results. I absolutely love when we talk on the phone here. I can't wait to do it more often. Podcast, whereabouts is that again? What's it called? Give us one more time.
Head over to jamiesmart.com/results podcast.
Okay. I absolutely adore you, man. You're just the regular guy that has so much simple, beautiful wisdom to share. Just thank you. Thank you for taking the time, because I know that we're on big time differences all the way from here to the UK. Jamie Smart, everybody. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks, Alan. So great to speak with you.
Really appreciate it. All right, that's it for me this week for Entrepreneur Weekly. There's a whole bunch of other great podcasts, guests like Jamie, that I tend to find in my travels in this world. I can't wait to interview you someday out there listening. We'll talk to you then.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.